Watch, she says, eyeing me with great care. Just observe, not join in? No, ma'am. Wait here. Ruthie marches to the big tent, slips inside. I hear her murmuring, deep voices responding, and then laughter. She emerges and, with a slight bow and sweep of her arm, encourages me to enter. She strides away with a cheerful, "Have fun, young man!" Inside, the air is ripe with cigar smoke. Three men seated at a card table under an oil lamp wave at me in a friendly way. Tony Martini, the daredevil and race car driver, Patrice Boudreau, the hat man, and Ronan O'Ryan, the ace mechanic who keeps everything running.
"Hello, Davy! Come join us!"
roars O'Ryan with an Irish lilt to his voice.
"The boss made us promise not to take a penny off of you, as if we'd cheat a boy."
The way the men grin makes me glad that Ruthie extracted her promise.
"Heard you and your sister was in the middle of the troubles this morning," Ronan says. "Is it true those fools rode a horse into the church?"
I nod. He shakes his head and takes a thoughtful puff on his cigar.
"'Tis a great mystery, why they hate them that took the jobs they didn't want. A farmhand in Rumford lives the life of a king compared to them that works the textile mills. So why begrudge the poor immigrant, eh? Makes no sense. It's like wasps have gotten into their brains and stung them with mad venom."
Patrice, the hat man, asks me a question in French. He has to repeat it because my French isn't very good. Mama believed that if we were ever to escape life in the mills, we must be English speakers. But eventually I'm able to understand that Patrice wants to know if the priests fought the Klansmen. I tell him I don't know about the priests, but the altar boys were in the crowd that drove them away. He claps a friendly hand on my shoulder.
"Bien, je comprends."
Good, I understand. Tony Martini fans a deck of cards.
"Pick one," he suggests. "Put in pockets."
I pick a card and slip it into my shirt pocket. He shuffles the cards and sets them aside. He frowns and shakes his head, then reaches out and plucks a coin from my ear. Before I can react, he plucks two more coins from my nose. He chuckles, his eyes lighting up with merriment, and gives me the coins. O'Ryan says,
"You've a head full of money, or so it seems. Clever man, Signor Bellini."
The mechanic explains that Tony Martini is a stage name. Antonio Giuseppe Bellini was once a trapeze artist in a family circus, famous throughout Europe. He also has skills as a close-up magician, as he has just demonstrated. Signor Bellini speaks only a little English, but somehow makes himself understood by expression and gesture. The Italian daredevil nods eagerly and makes a face. He touches his throat and looks puzzled. He coughs and then seems to retrieve a playing card from inside his mouth. He holds it up.
It's my card!
I check my empty pocket and realize he must have distracted me when he was pulling coins out of my ears.
That's amazing!
Bellini makes a little bow and says,
Grazie.
I don't need a translator to know that means thanks. Fact is, me and Joe grew up hearing lots of languages in the Biddeford tenements. French, English, Italian, Polish, Yiddish. Those I recognize when I hear them, even if I don't know what the words mean. Three languages being spoken at this little card table, but nobody seems to mind. Mostly because they're not playing cards so much as letting themselves be entertained by Bellini's astonishing skills. He pulls cards out of pockets, from behind the head, out of thin air. He makes the cards dance as he shuffles. He looks like he's having so much fun that it makes everybody happy to be in his company. When the three men head off to bed, they have to be well rested for tomorrow's air show. I slip away to my own cot and fall asleep as soon as my head hits the pillow.